Welcome to the Scare Trap Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of ScareTrack, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming. Spoiler alert, freaking awesome.
That's the loudest I've heard you scream in a very long time. The
quality of the set was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. My name is Mikey and today's episode is something a little bit different. This is the first episode in the series of movie reviews. Now, we're not going to be reviewing every single horror movie. There's plenty of YouTubers and podcasters that already do that out there. But after speaking to Dan Brownlee, who is my guest on today's episode, he realised on how many sub-genre haunt horror films that are out there, whether they're exploring scare attractions, haunted houses, escape rooms. What a perfect subgenre for myself and Dan, who have such a passion for that kind of thing, to join forces and discuss them here on the podcast. Of course, I absolutely adore scare attractions. Dan is a mega horror movie buff. What a better way than to collaborate between ourselves here on ScareTrack. We also have our mini movie reviews over on our YouTube channel. You may have already checked that out, but if not, go over to youtube.com/ScareTrack. Be sure to click subscribe as well and hit that bell notification so you're notified every time there's a new video on our YouTube channel. But I watch the film and I do my instant mini movie review on each of the films. We've got 5 up there so far and there's going to be more over the next few months as well. So that's today's episode. We're going to be discussing Haunt, the 2019 film, one of my favourites in this subgenre category, and I can't wait to discuss it with Dan as soon as we get him onto the show. So that's what this episode is all about, but a little bit of housekeeping here at the Scare Trap Podcast. First of all, guys, I hope you're all keeping safe and well. It's crazy what we're going through at the moment. As of, it's currently April 2020, if you're listening back to this, during the peak of this coronavirus, COVID-19 pandemic. And you know what? It's crazy, it's scary, but as long as we all stay safe, be kind, we will get through this. So I really do hope everyone out there is okay and safe. It brings lots of craziness to the world regarding health, employment, friends, family. But we have so many fantastic things to keep us entertained, whether it be podcasts, whether it be YouTube, whether it be the brand new Disney Plus, which I've just binge watched a hell of all the MCU. So we have lots of stuff to keep us occupied, and I hope that this podcast keeps you occupied for the next hour or so. So without any further ado, let's get Dan Brownlee from UK Haunters onto the show and talk all about the 2019 film Haunt.
You're listening to Scare Trap.
Quick disclaimer before we get Dan on, there may be some heavy spoilers in this episode. Welcome back to this episode of the Scare Trap Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I'm here with Dan. Dan, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, good. I'm loving the staycation.
Yeah, we are during the April 2020 COVID-19 lockdown. And you're just filling your day with doing loads of stuff.
I'm sculpting. I make latex masks. I'm doing that. I'm playing board games. I'm playing PS4. I'm hanging around with my lovely wife. And I'm just chilling out. It's great.
Sounds good. That's the best way to look at it, really, isn't it? Just everyone, if you can, if you're safe, be at home, stay at home, and see it as a positive thing. Because there's no other time we'll actually get a chance to do this, I guess.
Yeah, because think of all the things I had to squeeze around work and the gym and all the other social stuff. Now it's just like you can't do anything, so just enjoy it.
Yeah, just enjoy it. Just enjoy it. Make sure you're positive and in using your energy wisely and watching a shitload of horror films. Now, we actually watched all these that we're going to be talking about obviously before the lockdown, but there's no harm in you guys, whilst you're listening to us, going over and checking out and watching them. The first episode we're going to be talking about is Haunt, that was made in 2019. It's an 18, and it says on IMDb that it's on Halloween, a group of friends encounter an extreme haunted house that promises to feed on their darkest fears. And we both watched this, didn't we, Dan? I think I watched it on your recommendation, actually.
Yeah, I lost my shit when I saw this one. It is my second favourite Haunt film, Haunt horror.
It's absolutely awesome. It's the only one that really... I mean, they all scare me because I'm a big pussy. But it's the only one that really got me on the edge of my seat through most scenes going. It made me scared to go through a Haunt again.
Well, that's the thing. This is what I like about it. And it's what I was listening to the director's commentaries. I bought it on American Blu-ray because it wasn't. I'm still not sure if it's available over here physically. I know it's on Amazon. But the thing I love about Haunt horror films is it's the ultimate flip, because you go to Haunt to get terrified and have that experience knowing you're safe, and they flip it that you're not.
Yeah.
And it's just, and the thing is, it's really weird because when you, most horror films people make dumbass decisions. Don't go in the woods, don't go in there. If you said to someone without Haunt culture, go to the middle of nowhere with a bunch of people in masks who are going to torture and terrify you and sign over your life, yeah, you're mad.
But we do it. It's mad.
And we go out of our way to do it. So the thing, this, and the, what the film does, is it, they do it. And as you're doing it, you're thinking, wow, what a stupid goddamn idea. And we do it every time we seek this out. And it's so interesting that we put our hands in strangers who they're all masked. We don't know who they are. There's no background checks and buggers. They could screw us over.
Yeah, 100%.
It's quite interesting to explore.
Yeah, I mean, it made me think, because I've spoke to Lee Conway about this before, when he first, it reminded me of when he told me of the first time he did Cracked, which is the UK's most extreme style haunt here. It's a 6 hour long, sorry, yeah, 8 hour long, fully extreme survival experience. And the first year they did that, they sold their tickets out straight away. And the people who were buying these tickets had no idea who Lee was, no idea who Sarah was, no idea who this character called Blake was, no idea where this disused warehouse was. They were literally just given a website, a postcode, and people went, yep, I give you full permission to simulate waterboarding and running me over and making me eat shit so I throw up. And it's, and at the beginning of this film, the way it starts is very different to the other films like Hellfest or Funhouse Massacre, because they are at these big, you know, outdoor Tully's Farm, Broadwich Hauntfest style events. Mm. This one's very different. It's a lot more random warehouse in the middle of nowhere, like contained in Liverpool. But it is something reminiscent of, like Dan, you just said, something we do here. We actually... You know, in the States, in the UK, in Belgium, wherever you are, there are these extreme haunts that people spend a lot of money to do and actually go through them. Like you say, the notion sounds crazy, especially when there's a film where these people actually are cutting people up.
Yeah. And it's kind of weird how it explores our psychology that as long as it's validated, it's safe.
Yes.
It's a haunt. Oh, okay then.
It's okay then. Yeah, that's a good point. Well, we put our safety blanket on it, don't we? Like, yeah, it's a haunt. It's one of these places. Like, it's people who are obviously, they're obviously trained. They're not going to hurt you. And we're not the only people here today. They would have had 100 people before us and 100 people after us. Mm. But the notion that, you know what, this could technically happen.
Yeah, very.
I think it's the thing that really, it really shit me up when watching the film.
And do you know what? I think in some regards it has happened. This is exceptionally loose, but it's the same sort of logic where the family that House of Thousand Corpses is based on were actually a roadside attraction in America
Right, okay.
Where one of the things they'd do is do a fortune teller and the guy would sneak up behind him and kill him. So it's the same sort of thing as setting up an event for people to come off the beaten path into and then kill them. Not exactly the haunt, but it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I know 100% what you're saying. It's the scarier these films are when they're not too far from real life.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Like this could really happen.
And that is what I kind of like about the haunt horror, is largely a lot of them are very, very realistic.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
And it's the way they bring that realism into the experience of actually going there. Like Hellfest, for example. If you actually saw a scene from Hellfest, you'd be like, then you'd be like, ah, it's really funny. If some girl's going, please, 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 you'd be like, and like in Haunt, when the, okay, can we drop the spoiler warning? Because we might go into spoilers.
Yes, yeah, I put that in the intro anyway, but yeah, for anyone that, there's, yeah, spoilers ahead.
So anyone who hasn't seen it, who doesn't want to get spoiled, watch it now. It is well worth it, well worth the £3 rent or whatever, and then come back to us. So spoilers, when the first woman gets juked in the head with the hot poker,
mm-hmm.
if you saw that, you'd buy that.
Yes, it's that's literally of one of my first notes, like with the metal branding iron I've got here. Yeah, the metal poker. It is something that, a bit like when you go to a London Dungeon show and you're seeing someone have, in quotation marks, having their head chopped off, and you know, so it is a little bit of theatre that you're watching, and you go, "Wow, the special effects are cool there," or you know, you're visually watching something that, like you're saying, you'd buy into. You'd think that is part of a haunt, but she may well be getting her head actually chopped off.
Yeah. And it's strange how we're so willing to suspend disbelief. We want to get close to death that badly. We'll just throw caution to the wind like that so goddamn quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's one to make you think, this one. Rather than it being a film of grabbing the popcorn and enjoying a haunt style film where you're going to see some people get killed by a crazy murderer because it's a fun screen park. This one's a lot more, it's slightly slower, it's more on edge, it's more, it makes you, it's quite a claustrophobic film, isn't it?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
You're
especially in spiders.
There, yeah, oh yeah, when the spiders all fall on you, and I forgot about that bit actually, just thinking in the coffee. But again, that section there, there is a haunt like that in the UK where you have to go into the coffin, the door closes on you, there's just you and a friend in there, you're waiting a bit and hoping that the other side of the coffin opens. And it's a phobia rebirth, it's called, at Fear at Avon Valley Screen Park, Bristol Way. And it's terrifying. It is terrifying. And now I've watched this film, Haunt, I don't want to go back into that because it's just made me think, shit. And I was saying this when we did the mini movie reviews that are available on YouTube. There's so many scenes that I recognise.
Mm.
And you're probably the same when you've done all your stuff in America as well, Dan.
Well, that's the thing. That's what I like about, again, I mean, Haunt is, I'm not going to bias my own Haunt-based horror films, so I'll stick to my two actual favourites that aren't by me because there's no bias, but that's Hellfest and Haunt. What I like about Haunt is it is so relevant to how things are done now.
Yeah.
This whole pop-up thing is super, super, super in at the moment. And the really good horrors, what they do is they take a real grab of your life as a Haunt fan and put it in there.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so effective, because like these, they are built like that. Like in like the tombs, that the slate corridors of all of the woods, slatty woods, they're there. They've managed to take what is very modern.
Yes.
So when, and what it does, it now makes you terrified to go into haunts, but it also, as you're watching it, it brings you back to those haunts you've been into and gone, oh my God, imagine. And it's kind of, it hits you on different levels.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. The thing that got me most, I think, was the tunnels. Because I've been through multiple crawl tunnels in scare houses, and like you said earlier on, like, we're just happy to think that it's a haunt, so it's safe, so I'm going to go through this, even if I can hear a chainsaw at the end of it, or even if I know someone's going to grab my leg from above me, I still without a second thought, because I enjoy this sort of industry and this entertainment, without a second thought, I go in there. But this film, again, because every scene is still familiar, I could visualize each scene and the kind of haunt I've seen it in. But because this film, we're watching it knowing full well it's a horror and people are going to die, you have a complete different mindset, thinking, why is that stupid going in that crawl tunnel? Why are you doing that? But we would just do it ourselves when we do it
because
ourselves.
Because it is a haunt, all the things, if that was, hey, let's get drunk in this warehouse, let's crawl in this, they'd be stupid. The fact that it's a haunt validates every dumbass decision. Because you've got to. It's a haunt. The point is, you're doing completely opposite of what you'd usually do. You will go to the, what is it, safe, not safe. And they go, not safe. Because you don't want to go to safe ones. You're there to get scared. So the haunt validates all the dumbass decisions. So you can't even go, don't do that. You know, no, I would. Completely, I would. Because that's why I'm doing
it. And again, you mentioned in those doors, it's something that I've seen so many times in haunts. And again, I don't actually think, want to do, I'll go in the one that says most scary, because that's what I want. I want to get the most scared. I went through Psychomantium at Scare Kingdom over at Halloween, and it was called Trick or Treat, and each room you went into you'd say trick or treat, and because it was a haunt I said trick, because I wanted the. But if we were watching a film that said trick or treat and it was about a guy that kills people in a haunt, every time they say trick, I'd be thinking, stupid, but what the fuck? Why are you doing? Why are you saying that? But they are just acting. Yeah, they are acting like us. Are there any sort of key points that make this, like you say, this is in your top two favourite haunt subgenre films? What are the key elements that really make it stand out for you? Because like I say, for me, it's because it's so, every scene I recognise from haunts I've done. And it made me think about going into those haunts again. What are the sort of key things that really make it your top one or top two?
There's two key things. There's one, the fact that I like it buys into the fact that it's a pop-up. I love the fact that it's a pop-up because they're buying into the fact that people will throw away their regards to safeties with the justification that it's a pop-up haunt, therefore we should do it. And I think that is very modern. There's like R Space Productions, the best ones I know for pop-up haunts. And I saw them build it. And I was watching this film and gone, there's like simulated electrocution in the R Space thing. And people queue and go in. And then the other fuckers are there. And they could die. And it really brought it back to, as you said, to the things I've experienced. So you can really, and again, it just plays so well with the psychology of how willing we are to get close to it, thinking we're safe, and how easily it could just flip and not be. But the second thing, and it is the mask.
Yes. Yeah.
Quote, unquote. I mean, because I watched the director's commentary as well, and it's just the logic behind them, I think it really made you think a lot more about it. What do they get along with the rest of the year? Why are they like that? How do they get together? It gave it a ton more backstory, even though it's unanswered. It gave you a lot more depth. And of course, we're talking about everyone's faces are disfigured in some way to resemble the mask they're wearing. And that just blew my fucking mind. I thought that was amazing. When the first one takes off, you're like, oh shit. And also the other thing as well, because I've watched it quite a few times, they're not finished. Because when the devil takes off his mask, he's looking at her. Screen right, the tattoo under his eyes and finished. So it's not like they're at the peak of their game. They've just started.
Which just opens it up to sequels or prequels or a bigger story.
It does. Yeah, it does so much with so little. Because what you do, if they're just people mask killing people, you're like, oh, fair enough, people mask killing people. You don't really question when they started, when they're going to finish, when their end game, because these things, this one show, this guy's a work in progress. It's like, oh shit. So they've kind of got a plan, you assume. Or, you know, and if you're going to go as so far to fuck up your face, there's kind of there's a logic to it. So they almost pick their characters. So it's not just a bunch of mad people got together and went, oh, we're going to kill people. They must have come together in some way. You know what I mean? None of this was told, but you start thinking about it. Shit, how did this happen? Because if this guy's a work in progress, he must have been thinking about this a long time ago. So what happened for him to get here to this guy? Like the clown looks like an accountant with a star face.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He looks completely different to the devil, who looks like an extreme tattoo artist, you know, because he's got the implants and he's got the tattoos and the eye belts. Then you've got, again, on the Doctor's commentary, they're talking about the different masks, and you had Mitch, who's a ghost, who's actually was a manager at the local Waffle House. I mean, he was an actor as well, but, you know, that's where he's a Waffle House manager. And they were saying he's a burn victim.
Right, oh, okay.
So he was an extreme burn victim who did the rest with makeup. So when you assume, so then I started looking at the other face and go, right, the zombie looks like maybe he was in a bad accident or blew his face off. The witch, from what little we see of her, she could have just been quite unattractive. So it gives you so much more to think about once the film's finished and makes you want to watch it again to think, what is, how? Who is, how? You know what I mean? And then you get the other guy who hasn't got a scarred face who said he needed to earn it.
Again, just adds more layers.
So, yeah. And it just ripped it open. I was thinking, oh, please let this be big. Right, because the Hellfest, which is my actual favourite, I don't want to see anymore. That's done.
No.
He's told you his story. Every Halloween, he gets the mask, he kills three, he goes home to his kid. Cool. Done with that. I love it, but it's done. Haunt's just got an entire book and gone, oh, we can do so much more of it.
Yes. And I want to find out, like you say, what actually, I kind of want to see how they go into doing more stuff, but I'd prefer to see their origin or individual origins.
And also, most
just
of them,
to see how it builds.
Most of them are dead now, aren't they?
Well, yeah, there's only a couple, was it a couple that might have survived?
Because, oh, another fact, I make notes on fun facts here. The guy who played the devil was the tool killer in Stranger's Prayer at Night. Oh. You know, the guy with like, the white sack mask.
Yeah,
same guy.
The one that seemed to be helping him for a little bit. Was that him? Or there's one guy in the room where there's lots of people in like a white cloak. And he was the real one and all the others are mannequins. But he was sort of like...
No, that's Mitch. No, the guy who played the... No, Mitch... The ghost one, he was the Waffle House manager.
Right.
The guy who played the devil, he was the guy who played the stranger, the tall killer in Strange Prey at Night.
And the devil, he's the badass one. He's the one you don't want to be messing with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got shot.
Right.
The clown got shot at the end.
Yeah.
Mitch, who was a ghost, who's by far my favourite character, with that claw hand as well.
Yeah.
Fucking brutal. Pardon my French. He just got knocked out, as far as I can remember. He got punched. So he got knocked out.
So he could still be alive.
He could still be alive. The zombie got a baseball bat to the head. So
it's a 50-50. You know, could be alive, could not be.
Movie laws, you know, heroes get that and wake up and fight the bad guy in an hour's time. So
he's
possible. The witch got the metal door slammed on the face. But again, we're talking movie rules.
Yeah, true. She could be fine.
I mean, they could have all died because the place was set on fire at the end, but the only ones we actually saw die properly was the clown and the devil, I think. Yeah.
So, again, it just leaves it open to potentially being a sequel. But like I said, I really do think a prequel, or even if...
Oh, that was... Sorry to interrupt you. That was the other thing. At the end, where he tracked her down, she gave him his address.
Ah, yeah.
We just hand over our addresses to strangers dressed as a clown because it's a haunt.
Because it's a haunt. Right at the beginning, there's not even anyone really... It's just a clown. He doesn't even say anything, does he? He just gives him the file and you literally just read it and go, yeah, that's my name, that's my address, my phone number.
They don't read it because you never know.
Yeah, true.
Again, it's all about how trusting we are over absolute bloody nothing. And that's what, so it's kind of the same way I like Home Invasions. It's the same sort of thing. It's where you feel safe and then the horror comes into that rather than you going out into it. whereas Haunts are us willingly going into it and the amount of information we give over. Here's our personal address. To whom?
And yeah, and because it's again, it puts yourself into that mind. Like if it was just us, I've done that. I'll do it again. Like it's just normal. But because we're watching a film and we technically in a horror, you kind of know some sort of outcome. Someone's going to get a hammer to the head, or someone's going to get shot. Like we kind of know it, so it gives you that whole sort of. You know, it's a bit like Scream. Why did she run out into the garden? You know, it's just one of those things that if we knew someone was going to kill us in that cruel tunnel, I'm probably not going to get in it. But because it's a haunt, it's okay. It's fine. Yeah. I can get in that. That's absolutely fine.
And I hadn't even thought about the signing the waivers till the end. At the end, when the guy was like, "Oh my god, of course." If anyone got away, that's how they track
straight
them
to
down.
Their home.
So they could have done it before.
Yeah.
Easily. In another state. In another... Yeah, state in America, isn't it? Okay, state. Yeah, they could have done it in a couple more states. You don't
exactly.
know.
Yeah.
Also, the guy said, "I haven't earned my face." So, do they do it themselves? Because the clown... Well, not the clown kind of, I think, did. Mm. The devil definitely did. But the other one was a burn victim. Who started it?
Yeah. How did
they come together? You
know definitely. I mean? And why? In what way does he earn it? Is there sort of a ranking system that you're a bit like a gang? Have you got to make sure that you kill one of these people so you're included in the clique? It opens it up.
I think so, because the only thing the Dracula mask guy did, apart from getting caught, was when the girl was on the string flypaper, I'll call it for lack of a better term, he's the one cutting the rope for the knives to come down.
Yes.
So he had to kill her in a haunt way.
Yeah.
So, which, again, do they have to kill him in a haunt way to earn it? You know what I mean? There's so much to it, so much to explore.
Absolutely. Same with the witch as well. Like, her scene is basically having the big hot poker. Like, and so she's... And then... Right at the beginning, she just kills someone who's just a randomer, isn't she, at the beginning? We don't really know.
That was the people who came in before them.
Right, okay. Right, so there you go. So it's just a vicious circle of people getting killed in a haunt, basically.
So the people
who
came in must have got wiped out, and they killed the last person in front of them. Or maybe while they're killing them further down the line. You don't know. You have no idea what happened to them, apart from the fact you know they all died, because no one makes it out.
Yeah. And another scene that really jumps out at me, just thinking of these different sort of styles, is the one where the girl has to put her hand in a reach hole, a hole where you'd have to. And, you know, and again, there's so many times where I've had to do that, even in family style attractions. Like there's used to be a Who Wants to Be, I'm a Celebrity maze at Thorpe Park. You had to put your hand into these little gooey things to get the stars to get your meals. I've put my hand in so many different things in different haunts and attractions, yet again watching this film, I sound like a broken record, but watching this film you're thinking, why the hell is this girl going to do it? And then as soon as she pulls her hand out, it looks fine, and that's when it all starts to bleed and slice apart. And I just thought the visual on that was really cool, because it sort of suspended your disbelief a little bit. It's sort of like, she's screaming. Why is she screaming? I'm guessing something bad's happening and we're going to see her arm ripped off, or we're going to see it all cut up. But when it comes out at first, everything's fine. It all looks nice. And then slowly but surely you see the razor sharp. And I just thought there's quite a cool number of visual effects in this film, which I quite enjoyed.
The makeup effects fucking fantastic. They've definitely because Eli Roth produced it, and he's not fucking around.
he knows his shit. he knows his stuff, definitely. When I sort of did the because that's why it's perfect that we do these with you, because if anyone knows horror films or haunts, it's Dan. you know your stuff, especially when it comes to the film side of things, and I'm a little bit more of a noob when it comes to that. So that's why I thought in the little 10-minute thing I do on YouTube, it's literally something as simple as, I liked this, I didn't like this, I thought this was cool, and this is how it compares as a haunt. But to actually get into it more so of a film, that's why it's good to have these slightly longer ones here with Dan, because you can sort of deconstruct it in a way that I potentially wouldn't. I look at it as a haunt style film, so I look at it and I compare the rooms and scenes to haunts and that, whereas you can look at it from that point of view but also from a film background as well. So when you're watching these haunts, does it have to sort of tick a certain number of boxes to go, yes, it's got that bit of gore, yes, it's got that bit of suspense, yes, it's got the claustrophobia? Have you got some sort of idea in your head of what makes a good haunt film?
Do you know what makes a good film for me? I just have to be entertained.
Yeah.
Like, I love full moon horror films, and they are largely considered schlocky bits of nonsense. I think they are fantastic because I come out entertained.
Yeah, yeah. You can have that moment of disbelief just to enjoy it for what it is.
And the thing is that haunts are cool because you get to live through horror film experience, and I enjoy watching horror films, and haunt horrors just put them together. So I've not yet seen a haunt horror that I haven't liked in some level. Some have not been as great, but generally, yeah, they're generally the same sort of level as any film. As long as I'm entertained, as long as I come out, they go, that was cool.
Yeah, that's the main thing.
Yeah, more varied. I mean, like Hellfest, I love for different reasons than I love haunt. I mean, you appreciate things in different ways, but essentially, as long as I'm entertained, it's cool. I do like, on the second watch, picking apart the actual haunt. Like, when I watched haunt the second time, I was like, as a haunt, is this very good? Because it's kind of fun, because when you start watching it as many times as I've watched it, because I'm a little bit obsessed with it, you kind of, the killers made it just enough to be a haunt, but obviously didn't give a shit.
Yeah.
Because when the skeleton pops out, it's because they've obviously gone, look, we need to have something to make them jump, and they're not going to buy this.
Yes.
So everything is either the minimal amount to convince them it's a haunt, or just to fuck with them.
Yeah, yes, I agree with that.
And it's quite interesting to see at what points they did it. Like, the ghost thing where the guy, where Mitch first turns up, that's obviously to fuck with them.
Yeah.
The bit with the skeleton is to just buy them, convince them it's a haunt.
Yes.
The thing with the spiders is to fuck with them. So you can see it's because the killers obviously like testing people at the same time. It's not just, they haven't just let them into a room, oh, this is the escape room, locked the door, and then gone in there, vaccines, and fucked them up.
Yeah.
So there's a psychology to how they like to fuck with people. And there's a certain level, like when they go through the tunnels. And this is a good thing about it. They're so good at keeping you entertained. I forgot people went missing till they turn up later on. It's like, oh my God, yes, she was behind them. I wonder where the hell she went. It's like, oh, yeah, it's a tunnel. If there's more than two people, we use it to get people. So it's the way they want people to get further because they kind of enjoy the wind up.
Yes. Yeah, they enjoy people. And also, it gives the punter, the customer, a slight sense of, yes, we're going to get out. We might get out. We got to the next room. It's sort of like this fight for survival. We are good. And it takes them a little bit of time as well to realise that shit's actually going down.
Yeah.
Which I think is similar in a lot of haunt style films. And I think some are too nonchalant about it. Like, sometimes I understand that when we go through a haunt, you will see maybe someone's getting electrocuted or maybe someone's getting hit with a hammer or something. But you can kind of tell it's staged most of the time. Whereas these sort of films, like, if I saw a guy full on getting his head ripped off, I think I'd understand that his head's getting ripped off.
But the thing is, but you say that, when have you seen a guy get his head ripped off? How do you know what it looks like? You know what I mean?
That's a good point. Yeah, you don't know what it actually might look like.
Like, I don't know what anything looks like. I don't know. I know what guts look like. I see animal guts. Most of what we consider as real is very good special effects. So I remember, like, nurses pissed the moan, and I worked in a pub with nurses, like, oh, we don't watch horrors, the blood's always wrong.
Right.
Because they know what fucking blood looks like. They've had to stick some fucker up. I ain't got a clue.
Yes, that's a good point.
And also, if you did think it was true, and this is the other good thing about the flip side of the haunt horror, if you think someone's dying for real, there's still that mass amount of social stigma on you not to look like a dick and cause a fuss because you look like a dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you won't cut horror hasn't kicked off sooner. Because it has now, because when I did the tombs, I was like, right, it's like, fuck all around. This could be a thing. And then Hellfest came out, and I was like, motherfuckers, Hellfest? Something. And then literally there was so many, and I was like, well, now I'm just, rather than train set, I'm just one of the fuckers who's done it. But yeah, but I'm really surprised I haven't kicked off sooner, because they are so layered.
Yeah, well, and sometimes the sort of, the film is kind of, not made for you, but it's a structure that you, that's easily followed. The more that people go to these haunts at Halloween, the more they understand what they are, the more, like, you know, it's, some of these films, I'm not going to say Haunt is a good example of this, but some of these films you might show to people to explain to them what a haunt is. A bit like UK Haunters, basically. Yeah. But if they wanted to have something that, this is what would happen if something would go wrong at one of these places I'm going to take you to, Mum. You know, if there's actually killers, then I'm going to show you what Hellfest is like. But whereas Haunt is, like I say, although it's something similar to the kind of stuff I've been through, I quite like the fact that it's not one of those crazy, busy, festival-style places.
And that's
it's,
one of the good things about it.
Different.
It's quite brave. It's actually very niche.
Yeah.
That sort of extreme, middle-of-nowhere pop-up haunt, which are all very big at the moment, in the grand scheme of people who watch horror films, it's very, very niche. And I thought that's quite brave of them. It would be so easy to do a Funhouse Massacre, which I fucking love. And so this is not a knock at any of those films. They're absolutely fantastic. But they did. There's a certain safety in it. So, oh, it's a big chaos. And there's all this stuff going around. So no one's going to believe you. It was quite brave to do something so goddamn niche.
Yes, yeah. And something that's just so subtle and simple as well, in a way. Mm-hmm. Like you say, there's not these masses of people running away and there's big fireworks going off while there's a death scene or... big mass confusion of people running away, because there is just a handful of actors, a handful of people in a remote location in a warehouse that's got fucked up.
Yeah.
And I think that makes it scarier for me as a film watcher.
Do you know what I'd really like to see? And this will never happen at all. I'd like to see the same film from behind the scenes of the killers, what they're doing, because they organise themselves. When Mitch is there going, oh, shit, something's gone wrong. Oh, let me help you out. The other killers have got to know, keep an eye on things, know what's going on, because they need to make sure no one escapes, because that's the whole point of it. I'd really like to see that film from another point of view, from like the killer's point of view. So instead of following the people, we're following the killers, having the conversations right. Now, when that one gets that, you drag her there. Oh, not that bugger off there. You get that one. I'd really like... And again, it's not going to happen, but that'd be
extra
nice.
Layers to it. Yeah. No, that's cool. That'd be like the Rogue One throughout the Star Wars series. It's like, which I think is one of the best remakes anyway, Rogue One, but hey ho. Not remakes, but you know what I mean? Sequels, prequels.
Tell like prequel, that is the best, hands down.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I kind of like that idea too. Like I say, or like you mentioned, there's so much. I'm not going to say that other films are two-dimensional, because they're not. There's just a more simpler approach of, this is a bad guy and he's going to kill you with his chainsaw, because he's a crazy psychopath that likes to kill people with a chainsaw. With this one, there could be so much more of a backstory, purely because it's not just one lunatic. It's got to be impressive to have a few lunatics.
Exactly. And so you've got clown, devil, ghost, zombie, witch, and then there was the Dracula one who hadn't heard his face. Have I missed anyone?
I think you've got them all.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said clown right at the beginning, didn't you? Yeah, yeah.
So how did those five people get together?
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, it's one of those things that you've got to be careful. You've got to be careful who you're asking that kind of stuff to. It's like, it's a bit like asking... like your wife to do something that she's not really interested in doing once. So like, how do I mention this, or does she think I'm going to be a sick, twisted fuck weirdo? How did you got to get it right? Like, do you really just go, so this haunt stuff's fun, but do you really want to kill people while doing it?
And also, like,
oh, you do? Okay.
What do they do for the rest of the year? Now, the devil is highly hinted that he's some sort of tattoo artist, so he's obviously heavy into that scene. You can look like that. That's cool. The Mitch, burn victim. Burn victims look like that. Cool.
Yeah.
The zombie, every time I'm looking at his face, it looks like, it reminds me of, if you've ever seen Preacher. With a guy, one of the characters blows his face off. Now, it's quite a PG version of a blown off face, but it reminds you of that, like a horrific accident. Right. So maybe he looks like that, and you're thinking, oh, right, okay, so on that, and from what little I saw of the witch, she looked like she could just be massively, massively unattractive.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, okay, if you've got some people who are accidentally fucked up, you can kind of see them joining together with some sort of hatred for the world because they're treated badly because they've got a massive disfigurement. So you kind of start to go, oh, maybe that's how they got together. Maybe the two artist guy, because it's two artists, was such an outsider that he was a bit like, oh, I'm into fucked up shit as well. And you can start piecing together. The clown, I'm not too sure about. That's the only one that I'm not, I don't see how he fits in just in terms of look, because he looks kind of like an accountant.
Yeah. Yeah. Or whether or not he's the boss, he's the quiet boss that, because he's the first one they come to, aren't they, at the beginning?
He is the first one they come to, yeah. And he is the one who took care of their mobile phones as well. And again, so where's the hierarchy?
yeah. Who's is running the one? Ship? Yeah. And things go quite smoothly for them, all things considering as well. It's like, it's quite a slick operation.
Yeah.
In the fact that there's not really always that... There's bits of struggles and whatnot, because that, if there wasn't, then the film would be very, you know, simple. They come in, they die, they're done. So there's elements of, you know, mild peril and people trying to get out of the situation. But overall, they kind of, for the most part, get their way. And,
you know,
this person's going to die, so they're dead. Done. Yeah. Okay. So it's quite... It seems to be quite a slick operation, which sometimes, again, it depends how deep you want to get into these fan theories on these films. But, you know, it could be the fact that there's crazy people watching all this on CCTV who are running it behind the scenes, you know, or you just don't know.
I just bung my head while you're talking, is when the girl gets cut and the ghost, who's Mitch, goes, oh, I'll help you. When he convinces them, which is true, because it's how people disappear. If two people go through the tunnel, a trap door opens up, so he gets them one at a time. The first person goes, oh, the guy, Evan, the guy, the first person who goes back out to the front, he actually designs escape rooms.
Really?
Yeah, a little fun fact for you.
Yeah.
So when he goes out, and then Mitch, the ghost, follows him, he gets a hammer, gets a thing of wood and nails it shut. So they've obviously prepared for that scenario.
Yeah.
So do they prepare? But the people before them, no one came back. So they've obviously prepared so many different. Like that's what you kind of see. You kind of want to see their planning behind it.
Yeah.
So they've prepared for, right, if we need to convince people it's okay and get back, we'll block them out this way. We'll nail the thing shut. So there's. Do you know what I mean?
They've thought of every scenario. And that makes you think, have they... It could be a case that they've just done this for a very long time and that people have escaped before, or they found, you know, if you're in a haunt and there's a room that has a trigger that doesn't really work properly, you'll move the trigger or you'll change it up or you'll rethink the design to make sure people get that scare. I suppose it's just a similar way for them. Like... They're like, people keep escaping by the tunnels, so we need to sort our shit out so they stop escaping by the tunnels.
The other thing is, it's called, is you know people can escape because they've got home addresses.
Yes.
So
that
clown at the end, maybe someone got out and they're like, don't worry, because it's Halloween. No one believes phone calls like that on Halloween because they always think it's a Halloween prank. I'll get them tomorrow.
Yeah,
I mean, the world building for this is so underrated. It drives me nuts.
Yeah, yeah. And when you told me about the film, I thought, oh, okay, awesome. Another again, these subgenres—they're all their elements are all similar because they have to be, because that's the kind of film it is. If it's a slasher, obviously their elements are the same. If it's a paranormal film, they have the similar elements. But it uses a haunt-style subgenre elements. But this one just had, for me, which is why it's my favourite of all these kind of films, it just had that so many different layers to make it more just a juicier product,
yeah.
If that makes sense. There's yeah. more to it. And again, we're being able to talk more about theories on it, about, you know, probably more so this film than we will be able to all our others, because we just don't know who these people are, why they're doing it, how long they've been doing it, how long they're going to continue to do it, or whether they've just really planned a bloody good Halloween this year. You know, you just don't.
Well, I think they do it more often because of the Dracula guy said, I haven't earned my face yet.
Yeah.
So that's why I think, this is my theory, because of the zombie and the ghost having naturally, or the ghost, this was director's commentary, so it's yeah. not lore. Although the directors wrote it, also writers of The Quiet Place.
That was fun.
Yeah, because it was hinted at, or the director sort of said, oh yeah, this guy's got a natural one. You can kind of assume that maybe it started there, and then when the others wanted to get into it, they said, well, look, you've got to do this, then we'll scar you when you're in.
Yeah.
So they must have been doing it before for the guy to say, oh, I need to earn my face. And he looks like a bit of a wuss and a little bit of a fanboy that maybe he doesn't quite know what he got into.
Yeah, yeah. He's trying to get into the gang, but again, again, it's like a gang, and you've got to pop someone off to be able to earn your stripes, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No,
which is why when the girl got stuck, he could have just ran and stabbed her. He didn't. He was trying to cut the rope. And I think he was trying to cut the rope so the knife trap door came down on her, because they like the fact that people die in traps. It would be easier for him to run up and stab her, but that wasn't the point. They wanted them to die in the form of a trap.
Yes, yeah. I mean, it could have been easy enough that they have them all in one room. Someone goes in with a gun and shoots them all. So it's not the killing that's getting them off. It's the how they're killing them.
Yeah, and the planning. It's the fact they like toying with them.
Yeah, it's more exciting. It's a bit like Saw. Like, you know, he doesn't kill them. He just designs rooms and traps for them to be killed. Mm-hmm. Although the meaning behind that, and then they're trying to save themselves, is a little bit different. This is it's a trap that you are gonna die in, because it's a trap that we've made to kill you. But yeah, there would be an element of, I think, those characters being pissed off if they had to go down a route of, shit, we're gonna have to cut her head off, or shit, we're gonna have to shoot her, because they've put the effort in. They want these traps to do what they've built them to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think. Which is quite exciting about those characters, because, you know, if there was a sequel, then we could be excited about what kind of attractions they're going to build,
I have an idea for a sequel.
Go on.
I'm not going to tell you, because I'm still making
it. You might make it.
My films then may not be the most well-received films, but they're getting better by the film. And I actually have, I'll tell you offline.
Sweet.
But I actually have a pitch, a concept, and a name. Okay. Hopefully.
Okay.
I've got another couple of films in the pipeline, touch wood. And essentially, the guy who I've got involved in and the producer is absolutely amazing. So I'm hoping he's going to elevate my work more, and hopefully I'll get to the point where I can go, right, that film we did a few years ago called Horn, I've got a sequel, and here it is.
You know what? You never know what might happen as well. But that's exciting, especially when all this COVID-19 is over.
I forgot about that during this chat.
You know what? That's what's nice about this sort of thing, isn't it? Actually, yeah, I completely forgot until I brought us back down to horrible reality. What a cock. Sorry. awesome. I mean, I think, again, I think I covered all the points that I wanted to cover about Haunt. Is there anything that I've sort of missed that you wanted to let the listeners know about this awesome horror film, Haunt?
I can tell you a couple of fun facts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
The one thing that I made note of, which I didn't cover. Actually, do you know what? I'll go to my little zippy points first. Did you recognise the end song?
You know what? I can't remember. What was it? I can't remember it.
It was like a very lovely, wispy Irish female vocalist.
No, I don't think I did.
Singing a Rob Zombie song.
Was it?
Listen to it again.
You know what? I'm gonna have to watch it again now, aren't I?
I'm a hyper fan of Rob Zombie's films. I fucking love him. I think the guy's a genius. I don't dislike his music. I just don't. It's not my sort of thing to listen to. So I don't listen to it unless it's in the film. and I like it in that setting, but it's not my sort of, like, I listen to punk more than anything else. Mm-hmm. And Jess was like, listen to what they're saying. I was like, what was she saying? And, dig through the ditches and burn through the trench. Then it's Dracula. I was like, oh my fucking God, it is.
You know what? Hannah probably noticed and probably thought, Mikey is not educated enough, so I'm not even going to mention it. More than likely. Yeah, she loves Robbie too.
So yeah, so the other fun facts. I actually think I covered a fact as I'm just babbling on through this whole thing. But, the devil character, the actor's called Damien.
Nice.
Which is quite fun.
Nice, nice. It
was shot predominantly on The Red Dragon, which is a super, super Ponzi film, which is actually what camera, which is also what we shot the tombs on.
Oh, right,
They also used iPhone for some shots.
Really?
You know the first shot when they're coming in through the front of the horn for those massive garage doors?
Yeah.
That was actually an iPhone. So they had the most expensive camera you can get at the moment, and also an iPhone, which I always think is quite nice.
That is quite cool juxtaposition, isn't it?
Yeah, because they said, right, you wouldn't shoot the whole film that, but for a quick shot, it works.
It works,
You can get that good quality from them. And the end credits, the blueprints over the end credits, are the actual blueprints for the haunt they made for the film.
Nice. That's quite a nice little Easter egg, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So if anyone wants to build this haunt and kill people, watch the credits.
Well, no, I mean, I think it's the actual set.
Oh, right, okay.
Like, it's literally the blueprint for what the set was built from.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. I thought so. But the one thing I was going to just not waffle about, I mentioned, I actually quite like, about these haunt horror films, is because Halloween is so fun and campy and silly, it actually makes the prospect of Halloween scary.
Yes, yes.
Because people say, oh, yeah, but the film Halloween, but... That's a slash film. That's one guy. A haunt. It says a slash film about one guy who happens to do things on Halloween because it's fucking... He doesn't care. It's just circumstance because it's a cool film. This actually takes a very core subject, specific to Halloween itself, no other time of the year, largely, certainly pop culture-wise, and it actually turns it scary. Yeah. It actually gives Halloween an actual scary element to it, which I agree. Quite like.
It's the one film out of all these so far that I've enjoyed all these subgenre films, but it's the only one that really actually got me quite scared.
Yeah.
So it definitely.
I'm not even talking about the subgenre films. These subgenre makes the concept of Halloween scary. Where Halloween's about scary things, but we never see Halloween as a scary thing. We see it as a fun time to get frightened, but it actually flips that back to what it should be and makes it scary again, which is one of the reasons I like them so much.
Yeah. Let's rather than, because kids, it's a very, if you're not as into haunts like we are, it can be seen as quite a thing to do for the kids. Let the kids do pumpkin carving or trick or treat, that sort of stuff. But yeah, it brings the scare side back to it, doesn't it?
It only became a teenage thing relatively recently in America. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I haven't gone into the American side of it so much. But I mean, the English side, Halloween's only become a thing very recently. Because I've been going to America every year for Halloween for the past 6 years. And because before that, someone would throw a big party where everyone would do fancy dress and get whatever they were going to get on, But that was it. It was never really a thing. Because growing up, for me, Halloween was a big thing for me. And I used to buy some horror films and try to do a horror movie marathon, but it's only recently become sort of anything really. And when it has been something, it's been the fun side of it. And as America, it's like teenagers get drunk. The only real thing is it became Mischief Night, right. I think in certain, where was it? I want to say Detroit, where it's actually a really dangerous time. They've turned it mischief. But apart from that, it's always been quite kiddie. And when it's gone up to the adults, it's gone into like a celebration of, horror films, blah, blah. Nothing's made it scary.
It's all been too cheerful and happy and kiddie or...
Yeah, like, pumpkin carving, let's get dressed up and go to Mickey's and go to haunt. This actually goes, you know that wacky fun, the horror time?
Yeah. People might die. You might be killed, yeah.
It's got
a little bit purgy.
I like the fact that it's circled it back.
Yeah. It makes for a good watch as well. And it makes for good films for us to watch that sort of especially your two passions, films and haunts and horror, it sort of merges them all together, I suppose, to make a good... And like you say, as long as you're entertained, it's doing its job.
Yeah, and then there's some things like the escape room one. Have you ever seen the escape room with... Oh, who's the guy from Scream, the second killer? Not Matthew Lillard.
I think I've seen all three. No, I've seen two of them, because there's... escape rooms, and they're all called the same thing, and they opened within a year of each other, didn't they? Like there's but I've seen the one where it's I think we spoke about it before, where it's the guy's got the sack on his head, he's attached with a chain in a horn.
That's the one. Yeah. That is hands down one of the best. No, it's the best escape room. It's actually it would go Hellfest, Horn, and that. The only reason why that's so far down is because I absolutely love... Because Hellfest I went to see in America before I went to Halloween Horror Nights. So that's... And plus, it's a nice no-brainer one. Horn is fantastic because of the past hour I've been talking about it. Escape Room is fantastic. That beats everything. It was just such a small, ingenious... We'll waffle about that.
Yes, yeah, that needs to be on the list. Yeah, but that's a quality film, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that one... The one I saw in the cinema, the really high budget one, I was like, you're missing the point. And this is why I hope haunt horror... And you know, tell you like, I want the haunt horror to go high budget. Because when you get high budget ones, people know there's money and they'll put money into low budget ones and then there'll be more of them, which will be cool. But I find the high budget ones don't understand haunt culture.
They sort of go off on a tangent a bit. They make it too filmy rather than... what looks good as a haunt or an escape room, they make it look more visual as a film.
Yeah, like escape room. Everyone, when I heard about the podcast, it was like, oh, the pool room scene, all the pool, and this pool room turns upside goddamn down, and there's like a 1,000-foot drop, and I was like, where in the goddamn world? The whole point of these haunt horrors and escape room horrors is that they tap into our reality, that you go to these things. And what it does, it's like when I was talking about the Dark Horizons Orlando thing I was talking about. So, you know, the guy, the black horse.
Yes.
Just followed me. And my brain was going, Hellfest. This could be that guy. This could be that guy who's had a bad enough day in America. And don't get it, I have some very, very lovely American friends, but it's known for his one bad day nuts. The phrase going postal, I think, was born in America. And I thought, this is a motherfucker because Hellfest put that in my head. I'm not going to have a room flips upside down. I'm not going to have a hotel room suddenly catches on fire. They make it too budgety and too much about the grandiose gesture rather than bringing it down to what haunt actually is, which what makes it scary because it could actually happen.
I 100% agree with you. And it makes it less scary, less of a horror. Like, it might be entertaining for your average viewer. But it makes it less scary. It makes it less real. It makes it more fantasy.
You can't
to it. It's like with that escape room, to me, it's more of a fantasy star room. Like, I'm trying to think of an example. I can't think of one. But it's more like, this isn't real. It's more like The Matrix. It's like, how can a room turn upside down? How can a room all of a sudden be a frozen lake and you're going to fall into the lake? Like, it's...
Exactly. All right, in the escape room, I really wish I'd give him different names, but in the escape room with Skeet Eldridge, I think his name, all right, a guy gets possessed. In my film, The Tombs, a mannequin gets possessed. Now, I'm cool with that, because that's still enough to creep into your mind because the settings are so realistic. Yeah. The guy's chained to a wall, he can get closer every 5 minutes. That's a hook. With The Tombs, it's a guy with an axe wandering around. That's the hook. It's not a suddenly the whole thing turned into the underworld with creatures crawling this way and that way. It's still got
the realism. There's enough realism there for you to be able to suspend your disbelief on the other little bit.
Yeah, I will buy a guy getting possessed by a box over a room with a 100-foot, 200, 500-foot drop on the bottom of it all of a sudden.
Yes.
Easily.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's just like, all right, the guy gets possessed. Demons don't exist. Beowulf technically says who.
Yeah,
but
they
a
might.
Room turning upside down for a 5,000-foot drop? Nah, I'm not buying it. It's just not having it. And also, you can't buy into the people's fear because you think, God, if I was there in that room, oh my God, what would I do? If I was in the room getting flipped upside down,
yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah, I am done. Like, I'm literally
what the fuck? You lost me.
Yeah, which again is a good way to bring it to these haunt style films is, although sometimes they use the, and I've used this term in my YouTube videos, they just use the annoying teenagers sort of formula for some of these films. The way they react is kind of the way that we would react in a way. Like,
yeah,
if there's a guy coming with you with a chainsaw, you're gonna run away as fast as you can. You might fall over and look like a dick. You might, like, it's, you are going to just panic and run with what they seem to do, or you might try and find a brick to hit him over the head with. It's all realistic. Whereas, yeah, like, if, like, with that turning upside down scene in one of the escape rooms, all of a sudden everyone is a professional rock climber. Like, everyone can be Spider-Man upside down, and it's instantly you go, right, well, these people are obviously training for the Hunger Games. They're not just there for an escape room.
That's what about your films. You know, their films, and they're holding on by one hand. Have you tried doing that?
But it's just not happening.
Sweet Jesus. What do these actors have in their fingers that make them sat rock hard, man?
Exactly.
I've tried this stuff before. It's just out of curiosity. Just like, you know, I wonder if I could, like, ring around the gym and you've got the pull-up bars. I try doing my fingers. I'm like, nope.
Yeah, I'm gone. I've literally got my fingers are not that strong. But yeah, I think, like, again, I think that's a good sort of way to sort of conclude our thoughts on Horn. And I think one of the reasons it works big time for me is just because it could be real. It's that realistic side of it, isn't it, that just makes you think, oh my days, I don't know if I want to go in a cruel tunnel again, or I don't want to go in that kind of room. And again, when you were in America, you're going through Dark Horizons, you were literally thinking, Hellfest, shit, Hellfest. because it's real. And that's a sign of a film doing its job, of especially in this sort of genre as well. Like, it's a bit like if you were to watch a horror that's supernatural. If you're going to struggle to get to sleep that night because you're thinking, what can I see in the corner of my eye? Well, that film's done its job. It's made you on edge. It's made you scared. If these sort of subgenre haunt horror films are making you go, shit, I don't know if I want to go through this haunt because of Hellfest, because of Haunt, because of Massacre, then they're doing their jobs, I guess. They're entertaining you and you're thinking, shit. Like, the next time I see a haunt, a cruel tunnel with a chainsaw sound coming from it, I'm instantly going to this film shitting myself.
And also, the thing is, it's fantastical enough to up the ante and give you fresh interest, but again, grounded enough to go, yeah, if you know, people are disfigured.
Yeah, yeah.
People disfigure themselves.
Yes, yeah. Body modification, like, is a big thing. It's getting bigger.
Like, your guy made himself look like a tiger. What makes you think he might not, you know, put you in a jungle maze and hunt you down like a big cat?
And there's some people out there. So, they could all be in a haunt near you. So, happy Halloween, everyone. I hope you can't wait. Also,
quarantine.
Yeah. Let's all stay in this quarantine so we save Halloween. That's the main thing, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. Also, I think that brings us to a perfect end to this chat all about Haunt, really. Guys, anyone listening to this this review here by me and Dan, and obviously checked out the little one on YouTube that I did, my mini movie review, let us know in any comments what you thought of the film. If you've seen Haunt, what would you change? What did you really enjoy? What sort of things were clicked with you? Is there anything you didn't like? Is there anything that you didn't particularly like in the film? I think this one was a solid almost 10 out of 10 for me. I genuinely really loved it. If I was going to be mega picky, there's one time where the lead girl burnt her hands, and then she was using her hands quite a bit afterwards. So I thought, I think I'd be hurt. My hands would still hurt a bit. But other than that, I think it was, like I say, near enough a 10 out of 10.
Yeah, I completely agree with that.
Awesome. So I'll leave the floor for you, Dan. What film do you want to cover next?
If we're going to go top three, I would say either Hellfest or Escape Room with Skeet Ulrich.
Awesome. Sweet. I'm thinking let's do Hellfest because I think that was the second one I did on the YouTube.
I'm a Hellfest. That is solid.
It's an excuse to watch again. I was a little bit mean on it when I did my mini review. I was a little bit mean. I think it was just because I've seen it twice now, and I definitely enjoyed it more so the first time than the second time. But I think it was because I'd not long watched Haunt, and that had such an impact on me that maybe I was a little bit unfair to.
Yeah, when you said you didn't like it, I was like, really? I wasn't offended. You were allowed your opinion, but I was shocked. I was like, man, I thought that'd be right up your alley.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, I liked it. I liked it for many reasons.
Hang on,
but
maybe we should stop talking about this and wait till we actually hear it.
Let's leave it to the next one. I'll tell you what I'm going to do.
I was going to say something, and I thought, no, that's going to go off one, and that means this will be a Hellfest one as well, so we need to...
Right, yeah. Yeah, we'll hold off, and we'll talk about Hellfest on the next one. So, I think that's a perfect chance, before we both going off on a tangent again, wrap it up. Dan, thank you so much for coming on again. It's always a pleasure chatting to you, and... I'm sure I would normally ask what are plans going forwards, but at the minute it's all just staying indoors, really. So until the next time when we'll talk all about Hellfest, thanks so much for coming on Scare Track, and I'll chat to you soon.
Cool. Catch you later, man.
You're listening to Scare Track.
So there we go. First of all, a very big thank you to Dan Brownlee for coming on to the Scare Trap podcast. Yet again, it's always great to get him on. And it was awesome to talk all about Haunt. It really is one of my favourite of these sub-genre horrors. But like I said at the beginning of the episode, we got four other episodes on our YouTube channel of our mini movie reviews that you can go and check out now. YouTube.com/ScareTrack. Be sure to subscribe and click that bell notification. It really, really does help us here at the Scare Trap podcast. We really do appreciate your support on any platform, not just YouTube, but if you're listening to us on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, Player FM, absolutely anywhere you're listening, if you click that subscribe button, it really, really does help us out. And you can support us further if you want to join us over on our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/scaretrack, where you get an exclusive episode each and every month with extra content as well. We interact with you guys over on our private Facebook page that you'll be invited to as well, and just have a nice good old chinwag all about scare attractions and scary stuff as well. So a huge thank you to everyone who's already on there, and if you want to join us on there again, patreon.com/scaretrack. You can also support us by getting any of our merchandise that is available on our website, www.scaretrack.co.uk, and that's where you can see all our t-shirts, our hoodies, our hats, absolutely everything. We even do knickers over on the Scaretrack website. And the Scaretrack website, if you're not listening there now, because you can listen direct from the website, make sure you head over there. There's loads of cool stuff. We have our Scare Cam episodes, our Coaster Track episodes, our Patreon information, our merch store. Absolutely everything is over on our website. It's a one-stop shop for everything Scare Track, and indeed our sister podcast as well, Coaster Track. I think that brings us to the end of the Scare Trap podcast for this episode. Be sure to follow us on all the social media pages. Now is the time to really interact. Obviously, we're not able to go out to all these attractions, whether it be theme parks or screen parks or escape rooms. At the minute, we're not able to do it, are we? It's really unfortunate. But we can support each other to keep safe, be friendly, be kind, and interact on the social media channels. I'll tell you what, social media is the only thing keeping me sane at the minute. So join us on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Also, it's worth knowing that lots of escape rooms are doing online experiences, so go and check those out. I know our friends Dan and Jess at UK Haunters have already done some. Lee and Sarah and Rosie and James, they are trialing something at the moment as well, which I'm really enjoying. All social media immersive theatre. So very exciting stuff coming from all our favourite escape rooms and immersive theatre companies. They're really diversifying themselves in this crazy world of COVID-19. But that brings us to the end of this episode of the Scare Trap podcast. A huge thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.